thinking, make a mistake recording what I say. Gary Shepherd once made a statement at one of Don Fortner's conferences. He was the last speaker. And the Belmont State race was just run yesterday. And his statement was, there's a winner, a place, and a show, and an also-ran. So you've got an also-ran standing up here today. Henry Mahan says a little bit better, differently, same thing though. Grace is like a cow's tail. The more and longer it grows, the closer to the ground you get. So I'm about as close to the ground as you can get. I'm dust. This morning, I want to talk about a subject that Curtis got me thinking about a couple of weeks ago. And it's 2 Corinthians, Ephesians 2:10. And it concerns works. And before I even start, it's something I don't know a whole lot about. But by the same token, I do know some things about it. And when I look at scripture like this, the scripture tells me you see through a glass darkly. You are in no way know it all. So in part, I know, but I'd like to share what the grace of God has revealed in my soul to my brethren. And I hope you are forgiving. I want to take this scripture and show you that we are his workmanship. Fortner says we're his masterpieces. His workmanship, we are perfect. Ordained. The good works are ordained. I guess I might as well read the scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. People use this to say, oh yes, salvation is by grace, not of works. But aha, here it is. After you're saved, you got to work. Yet, I look at these verses and say, the same we are those he talked about in verse 5. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Therefore, the first thing that must occur for a work to occur is you have to be alive. It says, he quickened us. I heard the statement, we are born hating God, we are born wicked. And most people will say, I have never hated God. I have never done anything wicked. I'm a good, outstanding, moral Christian. But let me tell you, one simple thing makes you a God hater, dead in trespasses and sin, and despise God and be wicked. And it's called unbelief. Not believing the gospel of the sovereign grace of God says God is a liar. God is a blasphemer with everything he says. That's hatred. That is spiritual hatred and spiritual wickedness, not anything to do with morality. The first thing in us being able to work a work of God is he must give us life. And Tim James will tell you that everything we do alive in Christ is good. It is a good work. Every single thing that we do. Why? Because it's in Christ. It's we in Christ and Christ in us. This union. To make sure when I talk about works, just look at verse 5. verse 8. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, and not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not talking about works for salvation. There is no work that you can do to be saved, and no work that you do after you're saved that can remit or redeem one sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual work of the Spirit of God in a child of God. I often wonder what the difference between works and believing and faith and all these terms are. These terms are inseparable, every one of them. And they're something that God breathed. This song we just sang, Rupert, breathe on me. Oh, what a statement. Breathe your spirit into my spirit, and it will declare God's glory and all that he is. That's all it can do. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You cannot separate this masterpiece that God is praying, his hand, created, made a new creature, given life, given a spirit, a new creature. You cannot separate it. It's in Christ. It's a spiritual union between the soul of man and the soul of God, and essentially Christ gives his soul to his people. He gives his love to his people. He gives his all to his people. So everything that we have is his gift, and it is a union that the scripture says nothing shall separate us from the love of God. It's forever and ever and ever. Then it says all of our works are ordained, meaning established, authorized, ordered in all ways by God Almighty. And he says we walk in them, we should walk in them. And I like what Dennis said. Just read that word as shall. We shall walk in them. Why? Because God decreed, declared, said, you shall walk in them. And guess what? What he says occurs. Ordained means God ordered. Psalms 1:3 says, whatsoever he does shall prosper. When God ordains something, orders something, appoints something, anoints something, it prospers. Isaiah 53:10, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. All his prospering is in the hand of God, creating this masterpiece, creating his workmanship. And one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be, anything that God says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. When God speaks, he's speaking his desire, his will, his power, his authority, his glory, his honor. He is declaring himself. And he says, when I speak, when it comes to my, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. When God says to us in his masterpiece, you shall walk in good works. Guess what? What do? We walk in good works. Now to me, the basic meaning of that, what is our life? That's our walk. What is our life? It's Christ. Where is our life? It's in Christ. Who is our life? It's in Christ. So Tim James is right. Everything we do after God gives us life is a good work. Because why? God does it. Through us, in us. But it's his work. Why does he do this? Why does God say, I make this masterpiece through salvation and the sovereign mercy and grace and the shed blood of my Son, Jesus Christ, to declare His name is who He is. He's God. He's the Savior. It's His honor, His glory, all that His is, His majesty, His dominion, everything is. Everything that God says is good declares His name. And that's His purpose. Why does He save poor sinners? Each one of them is a masterpiece that declares the glory of God and the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them is a declaration, a witness, a testimony, evidence. That's what these things are. In order to perform a good work, one prerequisite. You've got to be a believer. We, you, who He has made alive, we shall walk in them. Only a believer can do a good work. Only a believer. What is a believer? This is the work of God, that you believe on my Son, whom I have sent. Believing is the work of God. Making somebody alive is the work of God. It's creating His masterpiece. In order to do anything, we must be alive. A dead man can't do anything. So who does a good work? A believer. Someone that the Lord orders. Live. Come forth. His commands, His authority, this breath of life. In the same sense that He breathed life into Adam, that piece of clay, He breathed into us. And what does that breath say, this spirit say? It cries right back, Abba, Father. It recognizes Creator. You are my Father. You are my Creator of my life. You are everything to my soul. What is His purpose? Romans 9. His purpose in making His masterpieces, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He hath before prepared unto glory. That said the same thing as Ephesians says. God hath ordained, God hath prepared, and I am declaring this glory through what I am creating, what I have made. These vessels. Now I'll use this word vessel again. In Thessalonians 4:4. Vessels that He makes are sanctified, made holy, and honor. Honor what? Honor His mercy and grace. Sanctified to what? Separated from sin unto holiness, from ourselves unto Himself. 2 Timothy 2:21, vessels unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. There it is again, it's good work. Fit, made fit, created fit, and prepared, ordained. How? Of God is both the will and to do. Everything that a child of God does that is spiritual in nature is given the will and to do, the ability, the desire. He has given everything. And guess what? He does it. That's what the scripture is saying. These good works, the master shall use them for what purpose? To declare His honor and His glory. Every one of them. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Every work that a child of God does declares the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He puts it on display. Look what I have wrought. Yet it's wrought in his people, in good work. Philippians 1:6. Been confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God performs a work in you, gives it to you, he said, he will guarantee with surety that this work will be performed and done. All I'm saying is, these good works is an act of the love of God to declare his glory. It's that simple. It's that simple. Life, clay vessel, breath, declaring the riches of his glory, and mercy, prepared to be a vessel of honor, sanctified, made holy, made fit, and make sure that we perform every good work. What are we saying? Look what God hath done for my soul. I am prepared unto a good work. I am his masterpiece. Now, when I say that, I am very well aware, if you want to read something about that, you can go to Romans and look what Paul says, and I'll get to that in a minute. Another prerequisite for any good work is faith. The scripture says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Now the scripture says, where does this faith come from? What is it? It's a faith of God, his faith, given to us by grace, and it is a gift and has nothing to do with good works, poor works, bad works, ugly works, pretty works. It has nothing to do with works. So here's faith. You have to be alive, and you have to have faith. Where does the faith come from? God gives it. I heard somebody describe what is faith. And the best description, Rupert, that I understand is the faith is the hand of the soul that receives every other grace. We see by faith. We hear by faith. Everything is God-given faith. God gives us this grace so we can receive the exceedingly abundant grace of God in Christ. We can see it. We can hear it. We can understand it. It is absolutely essential. And it says, without it, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? How does faith work? Faith is the expression of the love of God for a dead sinner that he gives life and says, live. What you see is an expression of the mercy and grace of God on the soul. Faith worketh by love. What does that faith that God gives us do? It's his faith. He gave it to us. So that faith looks to Christ and looks to Christ only. That's all it sees. That's all it hears. This faith is in union with our soul. And it's in a union with the soul of God. It's one and the same thing. All right, by faith, we love one another. Two very important things. And I'm going to get to some specific words later. Here is this faith that gives us the knowledge that we are alive, the knowledge that we were dead, the knowledge of who made us alive, the knowledge of who we hear, the knowledge to know what we were, the knowledge to know what he is. This faith is what gives us, makes us alive in Christ. All right, let me ask you a simple question. What is a good work? I've heard preachers list them 1 through 5, 10, 12. I've heard people like Tim James say, faith, not faith, but a good work is everything that a person who lives in Christ does from the moment he is saved until he goes to glory. Both of them are true. Walking in good works is walking in Christ. Walking in good works is feeding upon Christ. Walking in work is walking in the light. Walking in good works is walking in the way, which is Christ. Everything that we do points to Christ, and it's to his honor and his glory. We are declaring a testimony, a witness. What is a good work? John 4:23 and 24. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. My definition of works is real, real simple. A good work is worship in spirit and in truth. And it's without exception. When we have this meal a couple of weeks from now, Rupert, we will all bring food and stuff. That is a form of worship. Sitting here in this church, fellowship, that is a form of worship. And if it's true, based on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in the Spirit, God gives us desire, God gives us understanding, God gives us everything we need to hear, that's worshiping God. And it is a good work. All works are a form of worship. But note, it says, worship him in spirit and in truth. Any other worship is iniquity. A good work is worshiping Christ. A good work in one sense is like this. I look in a mirror, and what do I see? My reflection. God looks at our soul, and what does he see? He sees a reflection of himself. No matter what he's doing, he says, it's good. Why? Because it's me. It's like an echo. You say something, and that word comes back to you. Oh, that's the same thing as God said. It shall prosper wherever I send it. Here is this intimate union between God and his saved sinners, his poor sinners. He is the cause of that, and to worship him in spirit and in truth is the only work that we can do. How many of you can name me a specific good work that you've done today? How many of you can name 5 you've done in the past week? Let's go back to the past year. How about 10 in the past year? The answer is, we have no idea what a good work is. And that's scripturally true. You remember when they were sitting there before the judge, Christ, separating the sheep from the goats? And Christ said to one, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And the other, welcome to my eternal home. What did they say? The Pharisees, and he listed a whole bunch of things. He said, the Pharisees said, when did we not do those things? And here to the sheep who he sat on his right hand side, their response was, Lord, when did I any of those things? We have no idea what a specific good work is. Why? So we cannot boast in a single work. We don't know what good works are. Give an example. I can take an atheist and go help a poor person. I can take a believer and go help a poor person. I can take a believer and go help another believer. Which one, the same act now, is a good work? Only God knows. The ones that he prepared, the ones that he ordained, the one he declares to be good, is a good work. When did I any good work? The scripture also says, when you bury the seed and it comes up, one of the plants gives off 100 fruit, and one gives off 60, and one gives off 30. Is there a difference in works? Absolutely. Same God, same Spirit, but adversity in what he does. The example, the Apostle Paul. Look what Apostle Paul did in writing those epistles. It glorified God Almighty fully, completely in his mercy, in his grace, in his honor, in his glory, and everything else. But yet, what did Paul say? That which I would not, that I do. That which I wouldn't do, that I do. Paul was not taking any credit whatsoever for anything he did that was good. Didn't look at it as good. He said, I look at myself and I say to my soul, why aren't you doing what you ought to do? It's called aspiration. And Rupert, the best example I can think of is how many tongues would you like to have to sing eternal praises to God Almighty? 1,000 tongues to sing his praise. You'll never get it. It'll never happen. We've got one poor wagging tongue and that's it. So works does not matter whether we want to, whether we wish to. It's not based on what we want. It's not what we based on what we think. That which I would not, that is exactly true. That which I want to do, I do not. It's true every day of our life. And Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. But good works has nothing to do with the wretchedness of our flesh and our soul. It is a statement. There is no good work in our flesh whatsoever. If there's a good work, it is by the sovereign mercy and grace of God. And here is God saying to Paul, Paul, don't worry. My grace is sufficient for thee. I am all sufficient in all things, including these ordained good works. You have no idea when and what and but I am performing those things in all things, and I worketh all in all. All right, examples of good works. And I'm going to be bold, Rupert, and say some there are examples of good works. What about prayer? A grace-induced prayer. Is that a good work? We count that as a good work? Listen to what Romans 8:25 says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So here is the most intimate relationship, conversation between a sinner and God Almighty. And what did the Scripture say? We have no idea how to pray as we ought. And I'm talking about a grace-induced prayer. What does it take to make that a good work? It takes the intercession of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash it and cleanse it, and then it's accepted in the beloved. Every prayer we pray is a good work. Not for the work itself, because God Almighty intervenes intercesses the intermediary between us and God the Father, and he cleans it up. And it is true for every work that we do. Every work, to be a good work, must be washed in the blood, and then it is accepted by God Almighty in the blood. And then God says, it is good. I ordained it. It shall prosper. Okay, repentance. Have you ever come to a repentance crying and weeping and feeling sorry and all this for yourself and your sin? I think all of us have. But listen to this. Hebrews 12:17. Esau found no place of repentance, but was taught it carefully and with tears. You mean this person comes and diligently, carefully, with tears of sorrow, comes for repentance and can't find it? Why? 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godless sorrow worketh repentance. In order for that repentance to be a good work, it must come from godless sorrow, which he gives freely, instantly, abundantly. Then it becomes a good work. And we all do it. Love. Is that a good work? Work, faith, work by the love of God. This love that God expresses to us, gives to us, is this faith that causes us to love our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we love him as we ought? Nope. Then the scripture comes up. It's not that we love him so much, is that he loves us. Do we love the Lord? Absolutely. Oh, infinitesimally small. But the love that he sheds abroad in our heart is his love, and that's infinite. Brotherly love, one for another. Loving one another is a good work. The fellowship that we have sitting here participating in a declaration of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is an expression of that love. What is the purpose of all this? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. Now let me end that, and I probably spent too much time. But Bill and I were talking about verses in Scripture that was written on our souls on a daily basis. And it comes from Jude. And you've heard it 1,000 times before. But my point this morning is, we are to the honor and the praise and the glory of the sovereign mercy and grace of God and Jesus Christ. What we do in Christ is a testimony and a witness and evidence to his mercy and his grace. It's a declaration of the gospel. Our life is a declaration of the gospel. It's a testimony to his sovereign love. And to think, miracle of miracles for poor sinners. Jude 24:25. Now in him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I can't even imagine this, Doug. Here is God Almighty taking a sinner, elevating him all the way to the throne of glory, and saying, this person is perfect. And the most amazing thing about that, he does it with exceeding joy. Why? Because this person that he holds in his hand, this soul, is his masterpiece, his perfection, his good work. And he's presenting it. He said, look what I have created. It is a testimony to my honor and my glory. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen.